I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS On Air's Washington Weekly Podcast. Each week, we do like to touch base with the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy to discuss the latest on developments within the Beltway and beyond. Joining me on the podcast today, as always, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman from the U.S. Office of Public Policy in Washington, D.C. So, Shane, welcome back to the podcast. Happy Friday. It's great to be with you on this Friday before the long Memorial Day weekend, and looking forward to our conversation.
Dan, well, thank you for having me on. It's good to be with you. Good to be with everyone. I hope everyone is able to take some time to enjoy a long weekend.
Absolutely. And Shane, I know we have quite a bit we want to get through before we get to that point, and maybe we can follow up on our ongoing legislative conversation as it pertains to COVID-19 support out of Washington. I know last week we did dedicate some time discussing the HEROES Act. I know we've had some further developments on that front since we last spoke. Can you bring us up to speed on what has occurred?
Yeah. So we spoke on Friday, and then Friday evening the House passed the HEROES Act. This stimulus bill came in at around $3 trillion, as we discussed, I think, last week. But it passed very narrowly in the House. There was only one Republican voting for it, and actually about 14 Democrats voting against it. So it passed, but it wasn't overwhelming. It was a partisan bill. And now the Senate has said they're not going to take it up. So what we now see is Republicans in the Senate acting with less urgency than the other stimulus bills. We still believe that there'll ultimately be another stimulus bill, but you're going to see, as we discussed, negotiations really start to ramp up in June. I think the one thing I would also note is that, as an aside, the Paycheck Protection Program, which is the small business lending program in the last two stimulus bills, that is very bipartisan, and we'll probably see some changes to that program to try and improve it in the coming weeks, and that may move quicker than the next stimulus bill. Modifications will include allowing small business to use loan proceeds beyond the 8 weeks. Permitting companies to use more of the forgivable part of a loan for non-employee expenses, and a few other small changes that should help make this program a little bit better and help our small businesses in America keep their doors open.
So, Shane, it sounds like it would be fair to say that the bill, what it looks like today, is not what it will look like in its final iteration.
Correct, yes. Now, a $3 trillion bill has a lot of items in it that the Senate won't accept. I think there are a few, items that will be passed into law at the end of the day, but I think you'll see Republican efforts in the Senate and the White House to pare back and corral this $3 trillion bill into something more acceptable and more focused on trying to help the current and urgent needs.
Okay, well, appreciate that added insight, Shane, and this is something we'll certainly continue to keep track of, but thank you for bringing us up to speed on where we stand on the HEROES Act as of today. Sticking with the Senate for a few moments, I know this week the Senate passed a bill which is aimed at enhancing the oversight of foreign entities listed on U.S. stock exchanges. I thought this was pretty interesting. What can you share with us there?
Yeah, no, this is fascinating. It kind of emerged out of nowhere and moved pretty quickly, but amidst heightening tensions between the U.S. and China, the Senate approved this bill that could delist Chinese companies on U.S. exchanges. The Senate bill reflects longstanding concerns about the failure of Chinese companies to comply with U.S. auditing requirements and would require the SEC to delist companies that fail to comply over a three-year period. So this still has to pass the House. There is House interest, but the SEC is going to hold a roundtable in July to discuss this issue in greater depth. The subcommittee chairman in the House has introduced a companion bill. In this current political environment, House passage of such a measure seems increasingly likely, although it remains to be seen when and how that will happen and whether the ultimate bill will be tempered to reflect the concerns raised by the SEC.
Okay, appreciate the color on that bill. That was certainly interesting and caught a lot of attention earlier this week. And then sticking with Capitol Hill, Shane, I know Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Fed Chair Jerome Powell, they testified before the Senate Banking Committee around midweek. Can you provide us with some context around the nature of their testimonies and what were the key takeaways from them?
Yeah, so there were, you know, divergent views between Secretary Mnuchin and Fed Chairman Powell. These weren't totally divergent, but you saw Secretary Mnuchin talking about how he believed that a recovery was, right around the corner and would happen a little bit sooner, while Fed Chairman Powell was a little bit more cautious about that. You know, I think he really expressed the view that, you know, you're not going to see a full recovery until there is a vaccine or a treatment, where Secretary Mnuchin was cautioning that, you know, keeping America closed could do irreparable harm to the economy and real long-term damage. But they were both, you know, somewhat praising, you know, Congress's actions to date and acting quickly and forcefully to address the pandemic. But, you know, they being professionals, you know, did not try to get too into the partisanship, or at least Chairman Powell didn't. But, you know, they really did diverge and kind of gave each party what they wanted to hear and what will probably use in fodder coming up in the weeks as this debate rages on about the next steps. And I think that's where we're heading, and you'll hear from both of them more about what is needed. I think you saw Chairman Powell start to talk about that, yes, more may be needed in another stimulus bill. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin wasn't as forceful, but I think in the days since you saw this testimony on Tuesday, you saw him to start opening that door toward more stimulus. And again, I think that's where we believe we will all end up with Congress passing another stimulus bill.
Okay, so much more to come on that front, and we'll continue to keep a close eye on those developments. But thank you for the insights and the highlights of these key testimonies. Maybe one final point before we close out our conversation, turning to the campaign trail, Decision 2020. Anything new you can share with us in terms of the latest polling trends? I know still a lot of runway ahead of us before we get to Election Day, but what are you seeing as of today?
Yeah, we saw some very interesting and possibly meaningful items in polling. I think a lot of people are focusing on the poll from Fox News that had Biden up 8 against President Trump in the general election, and that is interesting, but as I think I've talked about before with you, is that we look at those and we do pay attention, but we really pay attention to the state polling. And one interesting one that I'll point that came out this week had Vice President Biden over President Trump in Arizona by 7 points. And that's been a Republican state for years. So we really think that's noteworthy. But what's even more noteworthy is the polling trend we've seen in voters 65 and older. This voting block is very reliable in terms of turnout. But also one thing that we've noticed is that they have been, since in the past 20 years, pretty strongly with the Republican presidential candidate. This voting bloc has not gone for the Democrats since 2000 with Al Gore. In 2016, Donald Trump won this age demographic by 13%. And also you have to think about where this demographic is. They're in crucial states like Arizona, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. All of these states have a high density of this voting bracket. And then what we've seen recently is that in public polls since April 1st, Joe Biden actually is winning this group by, I think, 1 point. So this is a swing really towards Joe Biden that could be extremely meaningful and consequential in the November election. So this caught our attention, and I think is definitely worth everyone noting and keeping in mind, and as something to watch as we go forward.
Fascinating development on the polling front. So thank you for bringing us up to speed on that, Shane. And this is a conversation we'll continue as we lead up to Election Day. Still a lot of time ahead of us, so anything can change, but interesting to see where polling stands as of today. But Shane, it was great catching up with you this afternoon. Appreciate you lending some time as always. Hope you have an enjoyable and relaxing Memorial Day weekend, and we'll look forward to catching up again with you next week.
Thank you, Dan. I look forward to it. Everyone be safe on this long weekend, and take a moment to think about the meaning of Memorial Day and think about those who've given the ultimate sacrifice for our country.
Absolutely. Well put, Shane. Appreciate it. And again, we have been joined by Shane Lieberman from the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy in Washington, D.C. And I do want to point out for our listeners, as always, do be sure to reference the latest edition of the Washington Weekly publication, which can now be located up on UBS Online Services. As always, if you are a client of UBS, just reach out to your financial advisor, and your financial advisor can provide you with a copy of the Washington Weekly publication directly. From all of us here at UBS, we do wish you a safe and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend, and we look forward to speaking again with you soon.
Presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. In providing wealth management services to clients, we offer both investment advisory and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct and differ in material ways. For information, including the different laws and contracts that govern, visit UBS.com/working with us. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.